Everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hi.
We're on Twitter, at Dallas Hoopscast. I'm at underscore Sydney Myers. Martin is at Martin L. Myers. The website is DallasHoopscast.com. You can listen to new episodes and read exclusive articles. Not a good night for the Mavs. It's actually in the fourth quarter of the game. There's 5 minutes left, and it's a 13-point game. So we figured it's probably safe to start recording. Just not a good game in a lot of ways. Is there anything you wanna start with, or do you need time to kind of contain your emotions?
I've said it over and over that the Mavs allow teams to come into their home court with a mental disposition, and they don't match it, and they get punked on their home court. And that's just all there is to it. Now, and I am not a big fan of the term soft, because in my opinion, it's a mental softness, not a physical softness that actually matters. But the Mavericks are the softest team in the league. They're straight up soft. Like, they are allowing teams to come into their court and just punk them, and they do not respond. They're like a bunch of lifeless rubber ducks out there trying to play defense,
like those chickens.
Yeah, you know that's basically them on defense. Their lack of effort and concern for the defensive side of the court is embarrassing, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I see that lack of intensity. You know, we talk about like playoff intensity or killer instinct or hustle, or like there's a lot of different words that people use, but it's that level of the disposition that you talked about.
They don't bring the disposition. And, you know, I don't know what their thought is at home, that they're just going to, because they're at home and their crowd is behind them, that they're just going to blow the other team out because they're so good offensively. But other teams know now that they can come into Dallas and win.
Yeah.
And so they're coming with this mindset, hey, if we try hard, they're just going to roll over and die. Which is what's happened. I mean, think about the last three games at home. I mean, Phoenix went on a 52-0 run in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Who was the last team before this one?
I don't even remember.
The team that sucked. The Memphis Grizzlies. A 96-2 run in the third quarter.
Yeah, and they got blown out.
It was embarrassing. And we're just, hey, you guys, go ahead and shoot that three. We're just going to stand here and watch you. I'm going to go under the screen, even though you're a top 10 3-point shooter in the league.
That is one of the things that frustrates me, is they always go under on a, if there's a pick set at the 3-point line. Mm-hmm. And if it's a guard that has it, obviously, they go under on the screen. And I'm like, they're going to shoot that because they're wide open.
Their lack of energy and effort on the defensive end is embarrassing. And it's really going to end up why they get ousted in the first round, because they don't play with the same mental disposition that their opponents do. And when their opponents decide that they want to come and play, even if it's a really sucky team, the Mavericks just roll over and they allow it to happen. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's, I've said,
of course, now they're making a freaking comeback.
Yeah.
I mean, they're about to go to the free throw line and make it a 7-point game.
We'll see. We'll record it live. Yeah, but it's like I said a couple times over the last few days, it's like they're just happy to be playing basketball. Yeah. You know, they're not, they don't have that intensity of, you know, we want to beat this team, or
they don't.
You know, how hard do I have to try, or what do I have to hustle? You know, getting the loose ball, it's like they're just happy to be out there playing basketball. I don't see anything else beyond just playing the game.
Unfortunately, that seems to be the Mavericks in general, from the coaching staff to the general manager to the owner. They're just, hey, we're just happy to be playing basketball, because
I don't know.
You know, their idea is they want this team to grow together. And it's like, yeah, it wouldn't hurt you to have one or two more veterans who can actually play and hold other people accountable on the defensive end.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's embarrassing.
Go ahead. Well, so the thing about, you know, the Mavs are young and you don't want to make any big moves right now because you want this team to develop and all that. It's like, to me, I see that as a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like,
you're always going to be doing that.
Yeah, because the reason that they are this team right now that's young and inexperienced and they have no veterans and they're not very good and they're not good defensively, the reason they are that is because they don't have better players.
They don't have those guys. Yeah.
And,
yes.
And you just went through a summer free agency where some of those guys were available, or through the trade deadline, which admittedly they probably didn't have the assets to get some guys. But again, that falls back to free agency. Like, you're the ones that build this team. And so to me, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy to be like, see, look, good thing we didn't make any drastic moves because they're just not ready. You know, they need to grow. It's like, well, the reason they are that is because of the players on the team. And like, you know, and I'm not saying I don't want any young players. Like, we've talked for a long time about how we wish that Carlisle developed young players. And I feel like he's doing that this year. And I think that's great. I love the fact that he's embraced Luka. But it's like now they're on the other side of the spectrum. It was like before, it was like no one on the team under the age of 40 is allowed. It has to be all veterans. But now it's like no one on the team over the age of 23. It's like the complete opposite of the spectrum. And I wish there was somewhere in the middle where we could be building a team and have those veterans and improve and not just say, well, they're not ready, let's give them a couple years and then we'll try to, you know, go after some big free agent. To me, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, you built a team that wasn't good enough, and now it's like, well, we don't want to make any drastic moves because we're not going to win a championship anyways.
So they'll never build a team that's good enough. That one thing is, they got to stop underestimating Luka. Like, yeah, just stop holding back making decisions because you're like, oh, he's a couple years away. He's not. Is he going to have to learn some things? Absolutely.
Yeah, and we've talked about that but on the pod.
It doesn't mean you can't go ahead and just start swinging for the fences every single season.
Yeah, and like, to me, it's not even swinging for the fences. It's like Bogdanović, the Utah Bogdanović, yeah, was available. And some of these younger veteran, not necessarily younger, but the lesser known veteran guys, I'm not saying they needed to go out and sign Andre Drummond to a $40 million contract or trade your entire team for a guy like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think there were free agents available that would have been solid role players. There might have been some of those guys available at the trade deadline. There were rumors that they could have facilitated a trade with the Knicks, where they ended up with Danny Green, who we know they wanted this summer, and all they had to give up was a second round pick and Courtney Lee. And to me, it's like, I don't know, why not? It's like, it's just guys like that. I'm not saying do something stupid and get, you know, Blake Griffin and his broken knees for a supermax. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think there are moves that could be made to make the team better, and it's when you don't, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Well, like, now we're stuck with this team, and
don't get me wrong, there's guys on, like, this is not a horrible team. Like, if you look at their record now compared to the previous 2, 3, 4 years, even the last time they made the playoffs, I mean, they still have a good record. And a lot of this is happening while Luka is out. And like, that is a reality. So they're not an awful team. Obviously, Luka and Porzingis is a great core. I like Finney Smith. I think Seth Curry brings a lot. There's some good guys on this team. It's not like it's all garbage. It's just that because of that, because I feel like they had those good players, why not try to add a little more instead of, you know, now we got to watch this for, you know, free agency 2038.
Yeah, because they're never going to sign anybody.
Another big name free agent is available.
They just want Giannis or whatever. And so, look, I mean, all of that, I understand. You know, whatever, you can do that. That's not my problem with this team right now.
Yeah, that's like way far in the future. That's that big picture.
The problem I have with this game is this is a consistent problem where they show a lack of intensity and effort
and focus
and mental disposition. They can't do anything.
Utah's on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah. And
on
it's
the road.
And they came out like they were on 3 days rest, and we came out as if we were on four games and four nights.
Then the
schedule.
Mavs played last on Saturday, so they had a day in between. And I mean, it hasn't been perfect for them. Like I said, Luka is out. They've had other injuries. I get it. But again, Utah, second night of a back-to-back. The Mavs in this game, in their game against the Wizards and against the Grizzlies, they look like bottom feeders. They look like a like one of the worst teams defensive in the league.
teams in the league.
I don't know, is that like, is that how good Luka is, that this is what the team really is, and Luka just makes them look so much better? Like, that's a possibility too. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's their lack of effort really on the defensive end of the court. And there's so many times where they're just standing around watching the opposing team shoot three after three, or really it's layups. Yeah. It's like Utah started out
game, it was
10 of
lot,
11
yeah.
or something in the paint. It's like, where is the and then, you know, I don't know. Like in this game, for example, the Mavericks made that huge run, made it back to 83-80.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carlisle switched up the lineup. And the other team, or Utah, went on a run, a consistent long run, and he never made a change. And it's like, he is the biggest plus-minus guy. So normally he always makes a change if the plus-minus isn't right. But then sometimes he sticks to his guns as if you can't make him change anything. And
Brunson was a minus 14. And he's played 26 minutes
so far. There's so much that I'm frustrated about. Honestly, I don't even know how to put it all into words. It's unacceptable to be a 500 team on your home court.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. And even for a bad team, that's a bad record. Like, even bad teams have at least a decent record on their home court.
Unless you're just the worst team in the league. Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, the defensive problems, it's like on defense, they're not really, at least the way it looks, is that they're guys. Okay, let me form a sentence here.
I told you, like, the frustration is real.
The offense, when the Mavericks are on defense, the offensive team, there's really no like pressure. They can move wherever they want and get whatever shot they want. And the Mavericks are there, but it's kind of soft defense, and they kind of just let them go wherever they want to go, and they get a shot. And okay, here's my question, because is this about talent? Like, maybe these guys just aren't good defenders, or is it about scheme?
It's effort. Is all effort. You don't have to be the best defensive player in the league. You have to put forth effort. Take some pride in defense, especially on your home court. Take some pride. And it's embarrassing that they don't do that. They just, after a team just comes in and just trounces them, they still do not take any pride in their defense. And you know, that's just going to continue to happen. I mean, I'm not saying this team is not going to win the championship. I never thought that. And if they lost this game, well, they're going to lose this game. And if they lost it, though, where it was a hard-fought game throughout and a close game, that's understandable. But the difficult part, the part that I don't understand is the lack of effort. And not only that, why do we continue to challenge Rudy Gobert off the dribble? Like, do you not read the scouting report?
Do you not see that he's the
defensive player of the year, like 20 years in a row, and yet we're gonna try to take him off the dribble and
with
finish
some soft stuff?
It's so stupid.
So, speaking of defense, the Jazz, there's a minute left in the game. They're shooting about 60%.
Yeah, you're never going to win a game like that. Yeah. It's like the Washington Wizards. It's the same thing. They just shot so well.
The Mavs shot almost 48%. So, I mean, it's not like they were
They
terrible.
Don't play
yeah, it's just,
defense.
They don't play defense. Yeah, and the Washington game, oh my gosh, I can't even. I mean, you want to talk about defense. That was, whatever you want to call it, a miscommunication or a mistake. Something bad happened there that it resulted in a wide open layup for a game winner.
Mm-hmm.
And that never happens. Like, even the best team in the league, championship team,
they don't get a wide open layup
as a game winner when there's 3 seconds left.
You can justify all you want how that happened. It's like, look, every NBA player, including Tim Hardaway, knows that your man is going to set a screen for the guy that's in the backcourt and you switch. But, you know, and then so it's a wide open layup. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. That, when I saw that, I just started laughing because I was like, I can't believe that just happened. Like,
that
I can't believe that just happened.
That whole game was was embarrassing from Tim Hardaway's defensive perspective.
That I mean, not a good game.
No, his lack of effort. You know, I'm just so irritated. I'm so irritated because, you know, why would we tune in and waste our Monday evening watching them?
I mean, because we like basketball.
Yeah, but they don't deserve for us to watch them the way they've been playing at home.
I don't know. It's like I enjoy watching basketball.
I don't. Not right now.
Well, I don't like watching this. But, you know, it's like when the game is over, I'm frustrated, I'm upset, and we might do a pod. But then it's like I go to bed and I go to sleep and I'm fine. I go to work the next morning. It's not like it ruins my life. You know, like I enjoy watching basketball. And when I talk about the game, when they lose, it upsets me. It's just like if they win, you're cheering and screaming. You know, that's the same emotion. And on the other side, they lose. So it's not like, you know, and then when it's over, it's over. And then we go on with our lives. I don't know. Like I enjoy watching it, but I see what you mean. It's like they don't have the same, they don't have focus and they don't have effort. And I don't know, the defense, maybe it's scheme, maybe it's talent, maybe it is just all effort.
It's effort. Yeah. Like you, now, yes, some players are better at defense than others. And Tim Hardaway Jr. is a bad defensive player.
He's never been a great defender yet.
But that doesn't mean you don't put forth the effort. And the effort is just not there for them.
Yeah. And it ended up being a 4-point game, but it was not that close.
Yeah. Is it over? No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, I guess ESPN must be ahead. Okay, so speaking of defense, here's a question. There's rumors that the Mavericks might sign Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. No. He cleared waivers today from the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets didn't want him. But
if you can't get solid rotation minutes on the Charlotte Hornets, why would you want him on the Dallas Mavericks? The guy breaks his arm every time he shoots it.
He is a very good defender. And I mean, that's worth noting. Now, I question the fit simply because he's not a shooter. And in the Mavs offense, I don't see how that fits.
If the Mavericks pick up Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, then they go against everything they say they believe in.
In terms of shooting?
Shooting.
Yeah.
The guy, have you looked at his form?
It's weird.
It's
weird. It's like a... He's right-handed, but he's actually left-handed.
I read somewhere that some, I think it may have been you, but somebody hasn't told him that he's left-handed.
Yeah.
And so he shoots it with his right hand, but on his left side.
Switches to the left.
And it's like,
and
dude,
then just kind of shot puts
I'm pretty sure you're a left-handed player and you should shoot with your left hand. But
I mean,
no, I have no interest in who are you going to cut? I'd rather have Courtney Lee. Than Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah, and so it's like, okay, in terms of not being able to shoot, like Dwight Powell couldn't shoot, and he had a solid rotation.
But that's
solid
the
minutes.
Role. Like, Dwight Powell was a big...
So, I mean, maybe Kidd-Gilchrist, he has played power forward the past two seasons.
Yeah, but he's not going to... If you set a screen, they're just going to double Luka. They're going to... Fine, you know, why...
I mean, they didn't do that with Powell.
Because Powell could finish at the rim.
Yeah.
You know, at least he can alley-oop it. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is like the worst offensive player.
You don't think
player.
He can do that?
No, he's a wing. He's just not that guy. I don't think the Mavericks should go after him. If they do, I'd be shocked if they sign him.
Yeah, he's only 6'6".
Yeah, he is not. No, you're better off just keeping the guys that you have.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
It's because he was the number two overall pick.
Yeah,
that's why everybody's like, ooh. But
yeah.
Think about it for a moment. The guy cannot get minutes. On the
Charlotte
Hornets, a team that's been in perpetual rebuild for the last 15 years.
They're not even what are you building? What
are
you
exactly.
rebuilding?
He was supposed
you never
to
had
be
anything.
The start of that rebuild, and he's just not any good. He shouldn't even be in the league.
I mean, he is a very good defender, and I think that is
congratulations.
That's intriguing.
Go play in China or something.
But the problem is he can't shoot. And I know, like, the Mavericks have developed guys like that. Al-Farouq Aminu, Dorian Finney-Smith. But those were projects that took years. Dorian Finney-Smith is in, like, what, his fourth or fifth year?
And he came in the league as a rookie.
Yeah,
Kidd-Gilchrist is, what, 33?
Yeah, he's 26. Mm. Al-Farouq Aminu was here for a couple years. Like, those were projects. Kidd-Gilchrist, I mean, I guess, yeah, sure, they could devote another 2 to 3 years to develop his shot.
But
with,
you'd have
with
to
that form,
fix it.
I don't
yes.
know. And that's the thing is, like, I can't imagine Carlisle would even want to just... Seeing that form,
no.
I don't it doesn't match.
I don't think it needs to even be talked about anymore. Now, okay, I don't think he's coming to Dallas.
The other possibility is Maurice Harkless, Harkless.
Yep.
He's also a good defender, but he's a better shooter. Now, this is a little like less sure because he hasn't even been waived. There's just talk that he might be, and then if he is, that the like he might be available. That's less certain.
If he's waived, I would take him. But the Mavericks got to figure out what to do with Porzingis. They got to figure out what to do with him because he can't play the four. But when he's the five, the defense is atrocious. And he gets a lot of block shots when he's the four, but he doesn't protect the rim at all when he's the five.
Think about it. They don't have any wing defenders aside from Finney Smith, but he can't play every minute. And he's not, you know, Giannis out there, okay? So if all of the guards, if all of the perimeter players get to the rim at ease, Porzingis can't stop all of them. He can't block all of them. He can't be everywhere. Sometimes he's going to be helping or he's going to be guarding a pick or something. He's not always going to be down there. He can't stop everything. You need some guys to, you know, filter it out a little bit.
That's my point. The Mavs have to figure out what they're going to do going forward. Because if they're going to keep Porzingis at the five and Luka at the one, then you're 2, 3, and 4. Those need to be three elite defenders.
At least two of them should be.
You already have a weakness in Luka because you can't have Luka running around guarding any wing that can dribble or be a playmaker. He's got to be hidden because he exhausts all his energy on offense. So it needs to be three. If you're not going to do that, then you need to have a legit center who can play in today's league.
And have Porzingis at the four.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's even possible in the way the league is today. I mean, that's what they got to figure out what to do. And they got to figure out what to do with that the rest of the season. Like when there was about two games when Luka, before he got hurt, after Dwight Powell, where they started Seth and Tim Hardaway. Mm-hmm. Offensively, it was awesome. Yeah. And we didn't get to see a lot of it, so I don't know if they'll try to go back to it going forward. But
defensively is a problem.
And right now, it's funny because their defense is terrible without Luka, and he's really not the guy that you count on to be a great defender.
Yeah.
And yet, when he hasn't been out there, it's just been a layup run.
Yeah, and that's, I've noticed that too, that this period of time without Luka, their defense is even worse. And I'm like, Luka's not a great defender. Well, now, he's not awful, but he's not a very good defender. I mean,
well, one thing he is good at is help side defense. He is a smart help side defender, so he knows where to be whenever and when he needs to be there. And so that's got to account for some of this.
And his size.
And his size. Yeah, he's big. And he's, and you know, he's also a good rebounding, which they've been getting killed at. And I love Porzingis. And I think him playing the five, in my opinion, is the way to go. But then you got to have three elite wings. Yeah. And Tim Hardaway is not one of those.
And like I said, he can't do everything. Like right now, he's the only protection out there. He's the only resistance some of the times. And he can't do everything. And yeah, I think you're right about having the elite perimeter defenders. Because right now, they have a lot of players who are one-dimensional, who are very good at one specific thing. And I think that's fine if those guys are like, you know, the third, fourth, fifth best player. Like if Hardaway is your fourth or fifth best player, you know, if Curry
we're not on the team,
maybe coming off the bench or something, like that's fine. But right now I think they have to rely on those guys too much. Most of their roster is those players are not very good defenders. And you see that reflected in their defense.
And there's no Draymond on their team.
We always compare it to Warriors players just
because they've won the championship.
I guess it's the most recent champion.
But as far as your defensive anchor, your defensive guy that holds people accountable on the defensive end,
he doesn't exist. The leader defensively.
Yeah, and the Mavs do not have that.
Yeah.
They don't have that guy that's going to get on you if you don't play good defense, or if you're not in position, or if you're not getting a rebound, you're not boxing out.
Yeah. And they don't, yeah, they don't hold each other accountable. They don't communicate.
No. Well, apparently, I didn't know that was a problem until I think Kirk
Anderson. Yeah,
he went to the game in D.C.
Because you can't, when you're watching TV, it's,
you can't really tell.
Yeah.
And
or you
now,
don't think about it.
Two people have said it now that they just don't talk to each other on the defensive end of the court.
Yeah, you have to communicate on defense.
You got
to
have a defensive anger. Now, I don't know what Carlisle, you know, the one thing with Carlisle is he does not really raise his voice. He doesn't scream and yell or light a fire.
He doesn't really do the come to Jesus moment thing. Yeah.
And unfortunately, in my opinion, when you have a young team, sometimes you got to give them a little kick in the butt.
Well, they got that one time from
against
the assistant coach.
Yes.
Yeah, but, and it worked, but then that was it.
Well, again, when it's a young team, you might have to do that. You got to do it a couple of times. And Carlisle just standing there. Don't worry, they're only up by 27. Don't worry, they're just going to keep. They're just making a lot of shots right now.
He's a very methodical coach. Like for him, it's about persistence.
Which I get that.
You know,
but I feel like for a young team, sometimes you got a little light a fire. Yeah. But again, if their mentality is not winning this year, it's learning.
Yeah.
Then they're not going to do anything.
Same thing next year, too.
It better not be like...
It is. I mean, because...
It's going to be like that until Luka's 30. We're going to let him learn, you know.
Well, we know they have their second round pick and they didn't want to trade it because, you know...
Yeah, that's super important second round pick. That guy's going to be a star.
We know that they're going to do that. And I don't know, they might try to add some role players in free agency. Who knows? And then they're saving up for the big 2021 free agency.
Yeah,
so
there is a bigger chance that Luka joins Giannis in Milwaukee than Giannis joining Luka in Dallas.
Giannis can sign his Supermax extension this summer. And I hope he does. We've talked about that before. One, because I want him to stay there anyways. And also, I want this whole thing to be over.
Yes.
And just move on from it. But, yeah, I mean, they have a lot of players that are, I think, good role players. Like Tim Hardaway Jr., if he's your sixth man, or Seth Curry, or Dorian Finney-Smith, or Max. Like, all these guys, like, are good role players, but they have an entire team of them.
And it works if you have Luka. Like, you know... It's not the end of the world. They still have a lot of time left this season to get on a run. But it's been like the way we saw
their defense, that's been all season, and
really their home games, the last three have just been abominations. Like Phoenix just went up 48-22 run or something like that in that third quarter.
The Grizzlies did the same thing. Looked great.
Yeah, they looked like the championship team.
Yeah.
And then the Jazz. Again, it was the same old thing. And it's like...
Within like the first 6 minutes, it was like a 10-point game or something.
Yeah.
I was like, what
Here we
happened?
Go again. Yep. So that they got to figure out what they're going to do at home. They got to figure out how to play some defense. Their defense has just been plummeting.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
And they don't really have a leader. I think they have guys that do value defense. Obviously, you know, Kristaps Porzingis talks about he wants to win Defensive Player of the Year at some point. Dorian Finney-Smith has always been a good defender. Like, they do have those guys, but none of those guys are the vocal leader type where on the court they're going to hold everyone accountable. I think they could become that. A lot of that is just personality. Like, you're either that kind of person or you're not. But
well, sometimes you got to force yourself to become that kind of person. Like,
true.
Like, Dirk wasn't always... a leader or a vocal leader, but he had to force himself to become that kind of player in order to win a championship. And again, if the Mavericks, if the front office and Carlisle and Cuban, this is just a learning year, they're not really in it to win it, then fine. You know, go in as the seventh seed. Be happy that you made the playoffs.
But they could get so much more experience if they were better.
Yeah.
Like say they did make moves to improve the team. Not again, not stupid drastic moves, but just those little moves to improve the team a little bit. Then you're even better. Then you get even more experience because you're going to go deeper in the playoffs.
I mean, what experience do you get going in as the seventh seed and facing the Clippers and getting swept in the first round?
I mean,
there's no experience.
They
that.
Might learn
that you
the intensity that you have to play with.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to learn that really quickly.
It's like I tweeted the other night. They are not ready for the playoffs.
No.
When they are hit with that playoff intensity, they're not going to know what hit them.
That's the thing. Like, they have stretches where they have that type of intensity, but
stretches throughout a 48 minute game.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I
mean. Like in this game, they had a comeback. They had a
stretch, and then.
And I was like, this is just normal basketball. And they're like, this is how you should play the whole game.
Really, they played well the entire second half for the most part. There was a couple of runs.
They did another run, yeah.
But that first half, I mean, it was just.
Sleepwalking.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, they got a long way to go. Now, they have a long way left in the season. They need to get Luka some rest, which is, you know, honestly, this ankle injury, in my opinion, isn't the worst thing in the world. Because he needed some rest. He was getting beat up. His field goal percentage was just dropping. So, hopefully, this will help him have some fresh legs coming out of the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, hopefully, when he comes back, he'll be nice and fresh. They have a soft cake schedule after the All-Star break. They got to take advantage of it. But they can't
waste. February was an easy month. We're already almost halfway through.
They got to go through a stretch where they win 9 out of 11 or something like that.
But it's like you had the Suns. You had the Grizzlies. You had the Wizards. Like, February was an easy month. We're already almost halfway through. Like, this isn't going to last forever.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Yeah, I mean, they still have some easy games, but they got to have a nice stretch. They got to get some confidence back, and they got to play some freaking defense.
Cuban said that he's trying to get Dirk to spend more time with Luka. I would like that, too.
I mean, you can't... The guy retired. Yeah, you got to move on. If you would have signed a veteran, you know, maybe they would have done that.
Well, I mean, they do have Courtney Lee and Barea, but they never play. They play tonight, but they never play. So, I mean, I would like for them to spend time together so he can learn the ways of the master. The Jedi. Yeah, the ways of the Jedi. But I understand what you're saying. Like, he's retired. Let him have a year off or something. But it would be nice. I mean, just to teach him those little things about... dealing with the physical defense or dealing with that frustration or the fouls, you know, stuff like that. I think Dirk could help him with that.
When you were 20 years old, okay? Like, Luka is just going to learn that, and he's going to learn it the hard way. Like, every single superstar learns it. So that's just going to be it with him. Now, he'll learn it a lot faster if he experiences it in the playoffs. And a deep runs where in the Western Conference Finals, he's going against Kawhi and Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
And they just destroy
him. And then he sees them win the championship.
Exactly.
And,
you know, so he'll see that kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't know. There's so much about the mentality of the season, the way they've created it, that their number one goal is not winning. And you see, like, in a game like tonight, where you have injuries. I understand you have injuries, but that doesn't mean you can't have an exception where you play a guy a couple more minutes instead of having to go and stick with a bench unit that is just not getting it done. You're telling me for one night with all the injuries, you can't play a couple more minutes, your starters a couple more minutes. It's that kind of stuff. So that is a mentality that's not for winning. It's for rest. And then you have the mentality of Porzingis is a floor spacer. That is his job. That's what he does. So the atmosphere that the guards have or the mentality
they
that the guards have.
For him.
Brunson is terrible.
Kristaps will be wide open off of a pick. And it's like, dude, okay, if Rudy Gobert is in front of you, that means that whoever he was guarding, Kristaps, is wide open. Pass it back to him.
But again, that's the mentality, in my opinion, that has been created because of Carlisle's openness about how Porzingis, because of him being a floor spacer, they have one of the greatest offenses ever. But then the ball handlers don't look for Porzingis. They look how they can benefit from a Porzingis screen. So that's not supporting of winning. And then their unwillingness to make significant moves to help them be better also shows they're not really in it to win it. And for example, we heard this story about the fact that they may have been able to trade for Danny Green.
Yeah.
You know why they didn't do it? Because he's on a third-year deal, and they wanted to keep their cap space for Giannis in 2021. Again, they're showing they're not in it to win it. They're in it to learn this year and grow. And I think that's just the wrong mentality. You should always go to win. I'm not saying sacrifice your future. You make smart moves.
You can try to do both.
Yes. Yeah. And they're not doing both. They're just like, no, we're good. We're going to rest our guys even if we're going on a 0-12 run or whatever.
Yeah, Porzingis played 35 minutes tonight. Finney-Smith played 35. He went 10 deep. But yeah, I mean, I think you can do both. Like you can be young and have solid players. And it's not like it's either young or old. It's either a 20 years old or 35 years old. It's not like it's like that. There's plenty of guys in between that are maybe 24, 25 that are still good.
It's everything they do is not about winning. It's about something else. You know, the reason they don't play players more than 34 minutes or whatever is to extend their career. Well, what's the point if you're losing games? Or they you know, all this player technology or health or whatever, it's not about winning. Nothing they do is about winning. It's got some other motive to it, which is all good motives, but they don't make decisions to help them win games.
I don't know. Like, I feel like that's, like, I can't really say what their motive is.
Well, obviously, they don't know that their motive. Obviously, they want to win, but they don't realize that all the decisions they make don't support that theory or that thought.
They take a very long-term outlook, which is not bad. I mean, that's... We obviously taking a long-term outlook is
they
wise.
Always take an a long-term
but
outlook.
But I don't like sometimes I feel like you sacrifice good things that could happen now for something that could happen in the future.
Yes.
Like, yeah, obviously if you got Giannis, that's amazing. Okay, but for the next 2 years, are these next 2 years just nothing until then?
Yes.
So that's my thing is, like, I know they're not winning the championship this year. I know I don't want a bad contract, but I feel like there's other things you could, but you know what? It's like, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse. I don't even want to talk about that. Cause
it's just, they would rather lose one game in one night than change their whole outlook on everything going forward. So if you have an opportunity to win a game, but that would require playing somebody 40 minutes, they would rather lose the game than play the guy 40 minutes. That's
my
problem. For
that
one
game,
not for a season, for that one game. And to me, that's the problem. And then another problem I have with that is when it comes playoff time and you have to play guys 40 minutes, they're going to be gassed. Because their bodies just aren't used to it. And don't give me this crap. Well, it's good for the players to protect them from injuries. We have one of the worst injury-ridden teams
that
in the league
true.
Right now. Yeah. So clearly, whatever you're doing does not matter. It's a load of crap. So in my opinion, they were better off where they played a lot of minutes because their bodies became accustomed to playing that many minutes.
Not like a ton of
not
minutes.
Not 40,
but
36 for crying out loud. You're telling me a guy can't play 36 minutes.
Or 30. Well, I mean, I guess they did play 35 tonight.
Well, he played 35 tonight. But I'm just saying in one particular game, you can't sacrifice your whole plan to just try to win one game. You'd rather lose that game. Or try to win it another way. And you can't. You got to play. Sometimes the only players that have it are the starters. Or sometimes it's only the bench guys. You cannot continue to do equal. The percentages don't equal every game. Sometimes you got to make adjustments.
So that's our game recap. Thanks, guys, for listening. Feel free to share your thoughts. You guys always do. Like I said, we're on Twitter, @_SydneyMyers, @MartinLMyers. Let us know how you feel about the game. We'll see what they have. What, one or two more games?
One more game on Wednesday and
before
then
the All-Star break.
Yes.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But thank you guys so much for listening. I think that's it. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.